Hi everyone, you're back with Inside Knowledge, your summer catch-up. I'm your host, Thea. Today, we are once again joined by RYC, who is going to tell us how the digital revolution is helping towards financial inclusion. So we're once again joined by Erwin to discuss financial inclusion in our summer series podcast. So in the last episode, we discussed the new Global Fintech Database 2021 and also what are the important takeaways for business leaders. And today we're going to continue discussing this report. So in the new Global Fintech report, it shows that the technological revolution around the globe has fought a sharp rise in the use of financial technology. So could you explain how this revolution is helping in achieving financial inclusion?
Yeah, sure. And again, it's a pleasure to continue the talk. Well, let me take you back a little to put it in perspective. So the so-called analog banking is requiring bank buildings, a lot of piles of paperwork, security guards, tellers, which all add up to a cost per transaction that is really high. It's not economically viable for a company to serve people with very low balances and very small transactions. So as a result, people in impoverished communities with very low incomes around the world, they have created very ingenious solutions, which we call informal banking solutions. It's sort of a workaround, not having banks or bank accounts, right? So they have been pooling cash with families and friends and neighbors, lending from each other. They created communities that we call saving and loan groups. These solutions are super creative and help them through the days. However, they do not allow people to build up assets, to invest or to move money very instantly, right? And it's often very risky to put your cash stashed under your mattress or to buy, you know, the golden bangles as a sort of an investment for the future or a cow. As you can imagine, the bangles can be stolen, the cow can die, for example. So this is what we mean when we talk about people that are financially excluded and not included, right? So that's where we were coming from. But with financial technology and especially platforms and the mobile money, the higher penetration of phones, but also the internet nowadays, many of the above risks and reasons why those people could not be included are actually avoided or mitigated. So I just want to share M-Pesa in Kenya, which is Africa's most successful mobile money service and the region's largest fintech platform, reaching millions of people now with mobile money services and including therefore those people. And this is the role technology can play. Or Aadhaar in India, that's the world's largest biometrical identification system. It handles 6 billion transactions in a month, right? You can imagine how impactful that is in the lives of the Indian low-income families. So these are great examples to show the power of financial inclusion through technologies and platforms. So these technologies, they basically reduce the cost of handling transactions, and they can mitigate the risks in different ways than our paper banking mechanism could. And they can do it at scale. So financial technology and platforms are enablers for other businesses, not banks nowadays, to join and to accelerate this achievement of full financial inclusion.
I think that's very interesting. And it shows how technology can really help towards that journey of financial inclusion. And then can you share with us some good examples of businesses or business leaders that really did it right and are really helping to financially include those unprivileged groups in their societies?
Yeah. And let me start by saying, because often the role of businesses is not really fully appreciated and seen. I just want to M-Pesa, for those who didn't know, is partly developed by Vodafone, a big multinational, right? So, And Ada, similarly, it's developed by one of the leaders of a huge Indian corporate. So the influence of businesses in this space is already huge, right? But we are talking now about what can we do more to get to this full financial inclusion. And your question about what leaders, I mean, I mentioned Coca-Cola and AB InBev is also in the same book about reimagining financial inclusion that have partnered with very inclusive fintech companies such as Banco, we talked about in the last episode. So to include low-income people in their supply chain. But another example of a business that are really on the right way would be for me, for example, all the insurers, because it's not limited to one, but many insurers, but also many mobile network providers that are actually partnering with Bima Mobile. Bima Mobile is a platform that is designed to bring affordable insurances to the underserved customers. So they've reached millions of them living with, well, a couple of dollars a day, right? So, and the amazing part of that is that 70% of their customers that Bima serves are first-time buyers of insurance. And I think the main point I would like to take the listeners as a takeaway from this is actually maybe you should say goodbye to the idea that you do something alone, because this Bima solution clearly shows how many different insurers can team up and many different mobile network providers can team up on the platform of Bima and jointly serve a market of millions, first-time insurer buyers. And I think I would like to appetize business leaders to go and think in that direction. And I would like to particularly mention Axiata, who is investing in Bima, because that's another role that companies can play. The last one, I will wrap up with this last one by one of the leading examples of IKEA, who have been working with social innovators, inclusive innovators for almost a decade by now, to make their business and their supply chain way more inclusive and circular, by the way. And as a result, they have been incubating many partnerships with inclusive models, not only financial inclusion, though. It has to be said that they also aim to become circular and sustainable. But the point here is that they contribute in many different ways to financially include the communities around the world where they source and they sell. And they partly do this through their responsible sourcing practice. They, by the way, openly share resources how to do it. So go out and have a look how they do it, because it's a great leading example how you can grow a supply chain that is really inclusive of the low-income people. So I can keep on going, as you hear, but let me pause here.
No, yeah, thanks very much for sharing those. I hope they're an inspiration for other business leaders to do the same and do their part towards financial inclusion. And thanks very much once again for sharing your tips and insights. And thank you very much.
You're welcome.